Okay, we will call the 1 p.m. Property Tax Division to order. We do have quorum, so we can conduct lawful business. First up on the agenda is the March 22nd minutes. Vice Chair Lee, have you had a chance to review the minutes? And if so, do I have a motion?
Yes, I move to approve the minutes from March 22nd.
Okay. I do have a motion. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. So I'm going to just stay here for the day. And so let's see here. I have to get all these correct. So Chair moves that House File 1377 be re-referred to the Tax Committee. Next, we will add the DE amendment. Chair moves the amendment coded A23-0086. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. It's adopted. Next, we will move the author's amendment coded A-9. Chair moves the amendment coded A-9. And at this moment, could I have nonpartisan Jared Swanson go through the A-9 amendment?
Mr. Chair and members, I will walk through the A-9 author's amendment. I'll use the page and line numbers that are on the actual amendment itself. So again, this is the H1377A9 author's amendment.
Yeah, I don't have it either.
Mr. Chair.
It's one sheet at the end of the packet.
I don't have that.
No.
We will make sure everyone has it before we proceed.
I got it, yeah.
I have it. You don't have it? Well, those who didn't have it won a prize. That's the big secret for the day. Okay. Does
I would have to vote no.
Does everybody have it? Okay. Mr. Swanson.
Mr. Chair and members, I will walk through the amendment using the page and line numbers that are on the amendment itself as references to each of these sections. So lines 1.3 through 1.5 of the amendment clarify that assessors still have the ability to verify that the property owned by the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe in Minneapolis, which qualifies for a property tax exemption under this bill, still meets the requirements for the exemption, even though the bill states that regular applications for exemption are not required. Line 1.6 of the amendment corrects language in the exemption established for an elderly living facility in Duluth. It's just a technical correction. Line 1.7 of the amendment aligns the date by which community land trust must certify that property owners meet the qualifications for the 42 classification established in the bill to align that with the application to file for homestead. So this change would move the date by which that information needs to be certified from December 15th to December 31st. Lines 1.8 through 1.11 clarifies that surviving spouses who had previously qualified for the Disabled Veterans Homestead Market Value exclusion and had that exclusion expire prior to 2020 may reapply for the exclusion. Lines 1.12 through 1.23 adds House File 2118, which is a Representative Keel bill, to the division report. This provision would extend for an additional 10 years the property tax levy authority for the Northwest Minnesota Multi-County Housing and Redevelopment Authority. Lines 2.1 through 2.2 of the amendment clarifies that the simplified income tax return for individuals claiming the renter's credit is for individuals without a requirement to file for an individual income tax return rather than for individuals without a tax liability. Lines 2.3 through 2.6 of the amendment delete some redundant language. So there's a reference to a certain reference to manufactured homes in this provision. That's not needed because there's a standalone definition of that term elsewhere in the article. Lines 2.7 through 2.8 increases the number of redevelopment districts Plymouth can establish in the parcels identified in the legislation. Lines 2.9 through 2.14 of the amendment extends the 5 and 6 year rules to 10 and 11 years for districts established by Plymouth under the bill. Lines 2.15 through 2.17 makes a conforming change to Duluth's tourism tax to allow the city to issue bonds up to $54 million. And this is to correspond with the authorized increase in tax collections. Lines 2.18 through 2.22 define the businesses subject to the service charges imposed by a tourism improvement district by reference to the municipal ordinance instead of by reference to the ordinance establishing the tourism improvement districts. Lines 2.23 through 2.24 remove a reference to non-existent prior tax sales arising out of taxes payable in 2023. And lastly, lines 2.25 and 2.26 set a deadline of December 31st, 2023 for Ramsey County to approve the legislation in the bill related to the redemption period for properties in targeted communities. And Mr. Chair, that concludes the overview of the author's amendment.
Okay. Any discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor of accepting the amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries, and the amendment is adopted. Is that soft enough there?
Better.
Getting better. Last day, and I'm getting better. Took me a while.
Fire.
Next, we will take up a series of GOP amendments. And first, we have the Anderson A4. Let's see here. Representative Anderson, would you like to move your amendment?
I would, Mr. Chair. Move the A4 amendment to the property tax division report.
Okay. It has been moved. Any discussion? Would you like to explain your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, first of all, we appreciate getting the funding into the tax bill. The SWCDs are very appreciative of that. And, you know, with a lot of things coming down the line in terms of USDA and the state ag department in terms of carbon capture and conservation and cover crops and such, there's a need for some additional funding. They say they could use additional staffing and such to capture some more of the federal dollars. And they do a lot of good things on the landscape in Minnesota. And they had been asking for $22 million. And again, they're appreciative of the stable funding. But what this amendment does, Mr. Chair, is just increase their base funding in this bill from $12 to $16 million, a $4 million increase.
Well, thank you, Representative Anderson, and I thank you for your thoughtful approach and basically everything that you do as a representative. And I take this as a friendly amendment, so I would ask for support for this. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The amendment is adopted. The A4 is adopted. Next, we have the A5. Representative Anderson, would you like to move your A5, Representative Anderson?
I will move the A5, Mr. Chair, the A5 to the property tax report.
Okay, it has been moved. Can you explain your amendment?
Again, thanks, Mr. Chair, and we did talk about this at the earlier meeting, and again, the increase in county program aid and in LGA is much appreciated. My concern is the automatic inflator that is part of the bill, and it's going to range between 2.5% and 5%. And I see the need for that, but I also think it takes away from the job of we as a legislature. And I would just feel more comfortable with that inflator removed, keeping the increase, but not having the inflator. So that's what this amendment does, Mr. Chair. It just takes the inflator out of the bill and leaves the funding the straight increase of $100 million for each of those entities.
Well, thank you, Representative Anderson. And I'm going to recommend that we do not accept this amendment. I think that, the inflator makes good sense. It makes good sense on the promise that we made to organizations, and as former mayors and city councilors and commissioners, we know the burden that we put on the state of Minnesota puts on all of our partners. And so I'm going to recommend that we do not support this. Any further discussion? Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Talking with a couple of commissioners, obviously they are appreciative of this. But one made the comment, in a year, if we ever get things back to what we call normal in terms of our economy, and if we didn't have a year when there was any inflation, we'd still go with a 2.5% automatic increase. And so I think that in itself would promote inflation. And again, I would just renew my motion. And I would ask for a roll call on this, Mr. Chair.
Roll call being requested. There will be a roll call. Representative Hewitt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Anderson, I consider you a very knowledgeable individual in this space. But what I'm learning as my short time here at the legislature has been, I spent quite a bit of time on education, and I think not putting those inflators in something like this could really hurt us down the line, just my opinion, because it seems like if we're not keeping up with the rate, and then we have to come back and catch up, it's false, kind of a false narrative there that that we as legislators get blamed for when the inflation rate grows. So I know I'm trying to save my own tail here possibly, but I just want to say it like it is, and that's kind of where it is. But I do highly respect your opinion. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any further? Chair Gomez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I just, on this front, so in 2002, the allocation for local government aid was $564 million. In 2022, the allocation for local government aid was $564 million. So that is not accounting for inflation at all. It means that this critical support for our local partners has been stagnant for 20 years. And so we have some ground to make up. And this stagnation in this really critical funding for our local partners so that they can provide the basic necessities that our communities count on, public safety, 911, roads, basic infrastructure, this is why we see increasingly more and more costs being put on local property tax levies. It's why we see more and more local governments coming to the legislature and using local option sales taxes and other tools in ways that are outside of what we've established is the guidelines for those in statute. And so, if we don't make moves to actually acknowledge what is in front of us, right, which is that local government, the cost to local governments has inflated over the last 20 years, just as the cost to all of us have. And this measure has not only in a very basic way, it hasn't even kept up with inflation. It's literally been flat for 20 years. So, you know, I mean, we have a lot of ground to make up here. If we decide that we're not going to do it here, then we're just passing the buck on to our local partners, and I don't think that's the right thing to do. I think that we need to maintain this relationship and basically a promise that the state government has made to our local partners over decades, because in exchange for like keeping property taxes lower than they would otherwise be. So, you know, I really think that I don't agree with the inflationary impact of this, you know, and we just have a lot of ground to make up. So I thank Chair Lissagard for just for his approach and his commitment to, you know, county and municipal governments in this bill. And I think it's really important. And I hope we defeat this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Kwan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think three of the members of the committee went through the period of time where there were multiple years of billion-dollar deficits. And LGA actually wasn't flat. There were changes, fluctuations. And then 10 years ago, the last time that there were both chambers and the governor were in the same party, there was a change to the equation and formula. And that caused a change in, I think, some of the cities stopped getting LGA. So when you look at the total dollars and you look that date, this date, there have been several fluctuations and redistributions that happened. So it's not that simple. In fact, I think more metro cities got less or got none. And, you know, that's because of the factors and et cetera. But it is not that simple. And the reason why it's not that simple is the legislature, due to the factors at the time, had to make the tough decisions, and they made changes. So autopilot might be easy. It might sound good. But it also means that we're not doing our due diligence in looking at the fiduciary characteristics of the state and our duty and making the decisions and appropriately shifting things here and there, because communities change over time. And so that's why I have sympathy for this amendment and other similar amendments, because let's do the work. If the inflation's higher and out of the 5% max, well, then let's address that. If inflation's lower, or if there's deficits, or we see that there's a big boom in development in certain areas, we can adjust. Because time rolls on, things change, and let's be diligent on the change instead of just saying, well, I'm going to turn on the cruise control and I don't have to worry about it. I don't want us to wake up in the ditch because we weren't doing our due diligence. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I going to speak against this amendment, and partially that's because I spent a lot of time door knocking the past year, and I talked to communities all across the state, and one of the resounding things that I heard was, stop making our local governments pay for the things that we need. Please reduce our levies. Please increase the aid that we get for local governments, because this is hurting us as communities and as small neighborhoods and as individuals. I heard resoundingly from the suburbs and from greater Minnesota and even from within my own district in St. Paul that people need the services that are provided by local government, and yet they are not getting the funding from the state that they need to be able to do this. And so I think that what we've done this year is nothing short of remarkable, even though it shouldn't be, right? I mean, I was thinking back to how much I got paid in 2002, and it was not a good amount. and it certainly, if I was trying to pay for my rent today with the amount that I made in 2002, it just literally wouldn't work because everything has increased in price. And in that same way, we need to have our, you know, we need to have our taxes reflect that. We need to have our calculations on this reflect that. So I really am support of what you have done as a chair on this year. I know that my city is appreciative of even getting back to, you know, just sort of a baseline to be able to afford the things that we need to provide to the capital city of the state of Minnesota. So I'm going to vote no on this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Elkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Old enough to remember that during the Pawlenty administration, the governor was always talking about how the solution to rising property taxes was to cap them. And every time he said that, all the cities immediately raised their property taxes by another 1 or 2% in anticipation. It's like, we better raise them now before something happens. And I still remember a function where his revenue commissioner, Ward Innes, at the time appeared before the cities. And I asked that question. So does your boss understand that every time he says that, the cities raise their property taxes by another 2%? And the room burst out in laughter, but he had to smile, too, because he recognized that was what the way it actually worked. So this is a topic that's best not discussed at all.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, again. And I understand, I hear what you're all saying. And I think we're kind of trending this way during this session, probably because we have this very comfortable surplus. And it's nice to be able to do that. But again, I think it's our duty to take a look at this on a biannual basis and adjust it if we can possibly do that. And because of that, I would just renew my motion and would encourage a green vote, Mr. Chair.
Okay, so thank you, Representative Anderson. So the motion before us, Representative Anderson is in favor. So I will ask all those in favor.
It's a roll call.
Oh, roll call.
So.
We're getting technical here now.
Yeah. Representative Anderson.
All right. Representative, moved. Yes, he has A5 moved the A5. So roll call. Clerk will take the roll.
Chair Listhagard.
No.
Chair Listhagard, no. Vice Chair Lee.
No.
Vice Chair Lee, no. Lead Quam.
Yes.
Lead Quam, yes. Representative Anderson.
Anderson, aye.
Representative Anderson, yes. Representative Burkle is excused. Representative Coulter.
No.
Representative Coulter, no. Representative Elkins.
No.
Representative Elkins, no. Representative Garofalo is excused. Representative Gomez.
No.
Representative Gomez, no. Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hollins, no. Representative Hewitt.
No.
Representative Hewitt, no. Representative Nelson.
No.
Representative Nelson, no. Representative O'Driscoll is excused. There being 2 ayes, 8 nays, and 3 absent.
Okay. The motion with what?
Two ayes. 8 nays.
All right. With 2 ayes and 8 nays, the motion is not adopted. Okay. It's the first time I had to do that one. All right. Next, we have the A8, Representative Quam. Representative Quam, would you like to move your amendment?
Yes, I would move that we accept Amendment A8.
Okay, it's been moved by Representative Quam. Can you please describe your amendment?
Well, basically, I'm not sure if there's a district where people haven't contacted us complaining about double digit, sometimes 30, sometimes 50% increases in their property taxes. And those huge shocks are sometimes difficult. So this is to say, okay, for the next 2 years, you're limited to a 5% levy increase per year. And it's straightforward, and it's one way of showing that we've heard them, and we're capping, so it's not as dramatic of a change to their budgets and, you know, to their life.
Okay, any discussion? I will oppose this. I do appreciate your thought on this, but you know, one of the things that we discussed as a former mayor, I will tell you that, you know, I wouldn't want the state to come in and tell us that we can't. But what I would want the state to do, and I hope that that's what how people view what this committee did, was to take a look at us providing the help, the resources, giving them tools so they don't have to raise the levies as much as they were. And that was the whole goal of what we did in helping with PTR and LGA and CPA and all of them different tools in the toolbox. So I'm going to oppose this. I appreciate that. But I guess as a former city councilor and a former mayor, I would not want the state of Minnesota to do that. I'm going to go further, and then I will wrap up with you. Any other discussion from members?
Is what I said just a minute ago in my sleep-deprived state.
Okay. Representative Elkin, in his sleep-deprived state, made a comment, and for the record, he wants to renew that comment. And we'll go back for... So if you guys could make sure they see, I know we're all tired, but... So Representative Hewitt.
Sorry. Problem. Mr. Chair and Representative Plum, the problem I have with this right now is our state is facing a real big problem with emergency medical services. We don't know what that cost number is going to be yet. And to lock our cities in that probably are going to be ultimately responsible for this to any kind of restrictions on local government control on this would be really hard. And I empathize with where you're at, but at the same side, we're going into a real tough time here, especially in that space, and also with our, to be honest with you, with our firefighters too in a lot of small towns. So I think this would be really a restrictive rule that we would put on them at the state level, but that's my two cents, Chair.
All right, thank you. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What with this bill, what is the percentage increase in LGA that's going out in the next 2 years? If I could get a clarification, because you know, $100 million probably is a little bit of a percent.
Mr. Swanson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Quam, I might ask someone else to actually. Get the percentage here, but the current appropriation for LGA is about $564 million, and in the first year under the bill, LGA would increase by $100 million. So it's something under a 20% increase, but it's
Representative Quam.
Thank you. So nearly a 20%. I think it's like 17.18%. So about an 18% increase the first year. The second year, you have the, you know, 2.5 to 5%. So that's a fairly substantial increase in the funding. And I would think that with that, you know, a 5% limit on a levy per year, when you're increasing LGA by just under 20%, would not be uncalled for. So I would ask for a roll call on this. If we weren't doing the injection of funds, mm-hmm. and LGA is not only, it's just one of the things, there are a lot of additional funds specifically for other programs that are in the nearly $18 billion of increased funding. So I think it's not unreasonable to show the citizens that, you know, we want to have a sort of a control on their levy increases. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. A roll call being requested. We will do a roll call. I would just, you know, make the comment that we're just, you know, the state of Minnesota, we don't set that. And our job is to provide as much resources as possible. And with the amount of money that we're investing, we're not even caught up to where we should be. And, you know, the state of Minnesota continues to ask more and more of our local governments. And I think it's, I just don't think it's the right thing to do is to be doing that. And I really do appreciate it. I think that it's important, to your point, is for the local governments and the citizens, whether it's a school board, whether it's a it's the county, or it's whether it's the city. Those citizens need to know the amount of money that we're putting in to this program, and it's their responsibility to work with their local elected on the priorities and what they're willing to pay. And if they don't want to pay that, then they need to let them know. For us to come over the top and tell them that we're going to put a cap on that with us not understanding their situation at that moment, I'm just not there. So any further discussion on that? All right, we will do a roll call. Can you please take the call, the roll call?
Chair Lestigard.
No.
Chair Lestigard, no. Vice Chair Lee.
No.
Vice Chair Lee, no. Lead Quam.
Yes.
Lead Quam, yes. Representative Anderson.
Anderson, aye.
Representative Anderson, yes. Representative Burkle is excused. Representative Coulter.
No.
Representative Coulter, no. Representative Elkins.
No.
Representative Elkins, no. Representative Garofalo is excused. Representative Gomez.
No.
Representative Gomez, no. Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hollins, no. Representative Hewitt.
No.
Representative Hewitt, no. Representative Nelson.
No.
Representative Nelson, no. Representative O'Driscoll is excused. There are 2 ayes and 8 nays and 3 excused.
So with 2 yays and 8 noes, the amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A-10. Representative Anderson, would you like to move the A-10?
Mr. Chair, I'll move the A-10 amendment to the bill.
The A-10 has been moved by Representative Anderson. Please explain your amendment.
Mr. Chair, just trying to bolster up again the actual tax aid we give back to our homeowners around the state. I think we heard parts of this bill previously. What this amendment does, Mr. Chair, it just increases the maximum refund that folks would be allowable for, eligible for, and this is all based on a percentage of their annual income. So, again, this would just increase that refund, and I would move the A-10 amendment and encourage a green vote.
Okay, it has been moved. Any discussion? I will make a recommendation to oppose this. I will be honest with you. I think that it is wonderful, you know, but there is a, you know, we're trying to spread this all over, and there is a cost factor that, and with the tails and what we have to work with right now, I think that this bill, although we all would like to do what you're suggesting, I just think at this moment for what's before us, that we can't. So we'll continue to work on it. Anyone else? Representative Anderson.
A roll call, Mr. Chair.
Roll call being requested. There will be a roll call. Any further discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will take the roll.
Chairless Lagarde.
No.
Chairless Lagarde, no. Vice Chair Lee.
No.
Vice Chair Lee, no. Lead Quam.
Yes.
Lead Quam, yes. Representative Anderson.
Anderson, aye.
Representative Anderson, yes. Representative Burkle's excused. Representative Coulter.
No.
Representative Coulter, no. Representative Elkins.
No.
Representative Elkins, no. Representative Garofalo's excused. Representative Gomez.
Gomez, no.
Representative Gomez, no. Representative Hollins.
Hollins, no.
Representative Hollins, no. Representative Hewitt.
No.
Representative Hewitt, no. Representative Nelson.
No.
Representative Nelson, no. Representative O'Driscoll is excused. There are two ayes and eight nays and three excused.
So with a roll call of two yays and eight nays, the motion is not, or the amendment is not adopted. Next, we have House File 2904 by Representative Anderson that, as we discussed prior, we would allow bills to be heard as an amendment. So, Representative Anderson, would you like to move your bill?
Mr. Chair, I'll move the House File 2904 to be included in the division report.
Representative Anderson moves that House File 2904 be included. Can you please explain your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe staff could help me here. I have a note on page 42 of the DB. Yeah, okay. Thank you. On page 42, delete Article 4 and insert the text of this bill, Mr. Chair, 2904, into your DE amendment.
I believe we'll, thank you, Representative Anderson. We'll have Mr. Williams, as he's flipping through to find it, expand on that.
Chair Liz Lagarde and members, so Representative Anderson's motion is to delete Article 4, which is the renter's credit article of the bill, and insert the text of House File 2904, as I understand it.
Representative Anderson? Representative Anderson?
I don't want to take away the renter's credit. I want to add the owner's credit.
True.
Okay, it's in the bill here, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Mr. Williams, could you?
Chair Liz Lagarde and members, as Representative Anderson mentioned, so House File 2904 contains both the renter's credit proposal that's contained in Article 4, and it also expands that to include the homeowner property tax refund.
All right. I will say exactly what I did last time. I think that we would like to continue to do more and more and more, but we only have a finite amount of ongoing money, and for that reason, I will recommend that we oppose. Any further discussion? Representative Coulter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just quickly, I will note that I am obviously a co-author on the bill, and I appreciate Representative Anderson for reaching out to me and asking me to sign on. And much as I would like to take up even a greater percentage of this division report's overall budget, I think I'm going to have to agree with the chair and not support this at this time, but I think it is something worth discussing about moving forward.
Thank you. Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Yeah, just an effort to add the homeowner's credit, making it simpler and easier for them to get the credit along with the renters are both important. I understand that. And I would encourage, if we can't pass this today, that we continue working on that in the future and add some increased credits for the homeowners as well, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Representative Quam.
I just want to add, a lot of the homeowners are former renters that worked hard and, made that transition. And I think we've got a lot of programs that try to assist people from different communities to be able to afford and be homeowners. Mm-hmm. And I think that the spirit is pretty common between the two in this bill that, unfortunately, didn't quite get heard and debated in committee.
Thank you. Any further discussion?
I request a roll call, Mr. Chair.
Roll call being requested. There will be a roll call. Any further discussion? Hearing none. The clerk will take the roll.
Chair Lislegarde.
No.
Chair Lislegarde, no. Vice Chair Lee.
No.
Vice Chair Lee, no. Lead Quam.
See.
Lead Quam, yes. Representative Anderson.
Anderson, yes.
Representative Anderson, yes. Representative Burkle is excused. Representative Coulter.
No.
Representative Coulter, no. Representative Elkins.
No.
Representative Elkins, no. Representative Garofalo is excused. Representative Gomez.
Gomez, no.
Representative Gomez, no. Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hollins, no. Representative Hewitt.
No.
Representative Hewitt, no. Representative Nelson.
No.
Representative Nelson, no. And Representative O'Driscoll is excused. There being 2 ayes, 8 nays, and 3 excused.
So with there being 2 yeas and 8 nays, the House File 2904 amendment is not adopted. Next, we have House File 2816. Representative Quam, would you like to move Bill House File 2816?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move that House File 2816 be moved to on page 41 after line 25, inserting the text of House File 2816.
Okay, it has been moved. Any discussion?
Well, basically, this again was a bill that wasn't heard, and it's actually the chief author was Davids, and that this is a desire to have some additional property tax refund and have it increased for 2023 and 2024, and again, it's relational to the issue of we've had an abnormal spike in assessed values and property tax bills across just about all of our districts, if not all, and that this would be a way that could help mitigate and soften the impact on our constituents.
Well, thank you. Any further discussion? Chair Gomez.
Thank you, Chair Lissegard and Representative Quam. So we did hear a very similar bill to this offered by my vice chair, Representative Norris. He's been working a lot on this and advocating for it. As you know, sort of the timeline on putting together this division report in relation to the big tax bill and our targets, it's like we were sort of putting this together without as much information as we have now. And so, you know, over the days as we move forward, I mean, this, you're absolutely right. We've seen this unprecedented spike in homestead valuations that happened like basically last year. And so, you know, this is one of those things that there's a David's version, there's a Norris version, I believe there's a Joachim version. This is kind of an idea that is very much in the mix. And I'll just tell you that we're not ready to accept this amendment today because of the pieces of the bill that are still in flux. But it's very much in the mix as we're moving forward and finalizing, you know, the omnibus tax bill, which the division report, of course, will become a part of. So. We're not ready to do this right now, but, you know, I do appreciate Representative Quam for bringing it forward and also all those representatives from both sides of the aisle, Davids, Norris, and Joachim for working on this. And I'll just let you know that it's in the mix and it may be something that we can find room for as we move forward. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I appreciate those comments and maybe consider this bill sort of like a capacitor, so you stick it in that flux and you have a flux capacitor and we can travel through time.
Any further?
It's a back to the
It was way over my head.
Yeah. Only nerds who watch the movie.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion denied. The amendment is not adopted. There you go.
I like that better.
Well, I mean, I was going through light years after that comment. All right. The last one, before Scotty beams us up, we have House File 2444. Representative Quam, would you like to move your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is one that I had mentioned before during our debate on the bill that I think if we had heard it, we could have tried something like this. But I would move that House File 2244 on page 5 after line 17 would be inserted the text from 2244.
Okay, it's been moved. I will make a recommendation that we do not approve this. Any further discussion? Representative Quam?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I, now that we've had our little bit of chuckle and decreased the tension in the committee, because I like seeing people smile in this committee, the abnormal spike, how best to address that. And my thought was, oftentimes when you're trying to get a more of a steady trend or change, mm-hmm. you do a 2-3-5 year average, and that way the blips don't come out, the slope changes a little bit, and it smooths it out. The toughest thing is when you've got your budget, you've been working, and all of a sudden a huge expense pops up. And that's tough on whoever you are. And this approach is to say, we're still going to allow the increase, but going to smooth it out so that it's spread across and is not as dramatic and gives people more time to adjust. Mm-hmm. And it's less, it's like jumping into the lake and it's real cold. This is saying we're going to take and slowly cool it down, or the lobster analogy, you know, you slowly bring it up to a boil so that lobster doesn't know that they're, you know, having that change. But and you know, take away the humor. I think we honestly need to look at ways to take out the drastic shifting. And this is one approach, and, you know, if we had debated it or heard it earlier in committee, I'm hoping that the bill already would have had some sort of a smoothing effect to take out that shock. So I would ask for a yes and an aye, and I would ask for a roll.
A roll call being requested. There will be a roll call. Any further discussion? Representative Hewitt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm glad. Sorry to do this to you on the last bill. Representative Quam, this thing you're talking about is the market value, and I, as a realtor, I lived through this bad experience because we had disruptors come into our marketplace. We had corporations come in and jack house prices in certain neighborhoods that were just unrealistic, and that sent the appraiser going unrealistic too. I'm trying to think, and I'm listening to you, and you have that great science mind that, you know, what's a good way to fix this with the mean, with the average, where do we go? I don't know if that'll work. I don't know. I think we are going to have to look at this eventually in the tax committee of how we can really get the true value and the true market value of a house, but I don't know if this is it or not, but it's a great discussion.
Any, Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members. The
And it also hit my district hardest with these price increases because we have some of the what we're called affordable housing, older housing, and in our suburb. And those ones seem to go up faster at a faster rate than other ones in the district. And now that none of those I would consider affordable for first-time home buyers, even though we're still being listed as that. The other comment I have to make is to Representative Quam's. I think about putting a frog. I think he said a
lobster.
He said a lobster, but there's that old saying: you put a frog in a pot of water and you slowly heat it, and it won't jump out. If you throw it in hot water, it'll jump out. Well, I remember Representative Kahn in the past, who was also a scientist, mentioned that that ain't true. That the frog, when it gets hot enough, will jump out before it boils to this. So. Anyway.
Oh, we got lobsters and frogs.
Crime travel.
We're
going crime traveling.
Up all night.
Any further discussion? We have Representative Quam, you can follow up on that one.
No, Mr. Chair, I didn't know my poor humor was communicable. So I apologize. And again, I hope for some eyes.
Yeah. The clerk will take the roll.
Chair Lislegarde.
No.
Chair Lislegarde, no. Vice Chair Lee.
No.
Vice Chair Lee, no. Lead Quam.
Aye.
Lead Quam, aye. Representative Anderson.
Anderson, yes.
Representative Anderson, aye. Representative Burkle is excused. Representative Coulter.
No.
Representative Coulter, no. Representative Elkins.
No.
Representative Elkins, no. Representative Garofalo is excused. Representative Gomez.
Gomez, no.
Representative Gomez, no. Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hollins, no. Representative Hewitt.
No.
Representative Hewitt, no. Representative Nelson.
No.
Representative Nelson, no. Representative O'Driscoll is excused. There being 2 ayes, 8 nays, and 3 excused.
Okay, with 2 yeas and 8 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Are there any further amendments? Okay, that concludes our amendments discussion to the bill as amended. Chair Gomez.
I'll just keep it brief because I just want to say some nice things about our chair, I guess. Chair Lissegarde and I obviously are we're new chairs. We're honored to be asked to do this work on behalf of our caucus and the legislature and the people of Minnesota in our third term, each of us. And I guess I just want to say, like, that I think we have done a lot of good work together and that you are a great chair and you've done, you know, we talked about unpeeling that onion and trying to just understand how to connect the things that we hear from our residents with the policies of our state. And you know, I think we have, I usually, like, really don't like the property tax division report, I'm just going to be honest, because it has a lot of, like, policy in it that's, like, not my fave, you know, but this one's pretty decent. You did a pretty good job here, I think. There's a lot of really wonderful things in here. Obviously, there's help for our communities, most importantly, right? There is help for our local government partners who are doing more with less. There's help for our residents, whether they are renters or they are, homeowners, with those increasing property tax bills. And, you know, so I just feel that my principles and my values about what we're supposed to be doing in this place are really reflected in this bill today. And I just want to compliment our chair for identifying those places where we really do have, common agreement and common values and transferring that into this division report. And it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So thank you. My compliments to you. Thanks,
thank you.
Chair Lissegarde.
Representative Coulter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to thank you as well for doing the work in this committee. I think I mentioned this to you. This has proven to be, somewhat surprisingly, one of the more energizing committees that I'm on. And really, that's, I think, because of all of us sitting around the table, because...
This is a monster.
Well, because we have some really, really good discussions and really good conversations, and I mean that sincerely. Excuse me. And I've just really come to appreciate that. And I do also want to renew a request, I think, to all of us that I made. I think it was when we heard the LGA bill. And that is, if you can, go to your cities and your counties. Go to the truth and taxation hearings and see, you know, how our local governments really spend their property tax dollars. Because I think for the most part, you'd be pretty impressed. You'd see that our local governments do really, really good work. But one of the things that I've come to see in this committee is that when we talk about the challenge of rising property taxes, and I think we all agree that it is a challenge, that we have to look at it as a sort of a whole system approach. We can't take individual pieces of it, because the short answer is that whether it's the state, whether it's the county, whether it's cities or townships, nobody really has enough power to affect the whole system, because we can do what we can do here, and I think we've done a really good job with that. But that's not a guarantee either. And likewise, you know, cities and counties and townships, they set the levies, but those are just dollar figures. How those dollar figures are distributed is really outside of their control, too. And so I think this bill is a really excellent demonstration of that sort of whole system approach to addressing a really significant challenge, while recognizing that local governments still have to do the things that folks expect them to do. And I do also just, again, want to thank you, Mr. Chair, for including the renter's credit proposal. That's close to 60% of the overall cost of this bill, which I was not expecting as a first-term member. But I know you know, and I know we all appreciate how that's really going to help a lot of folks who need it the most. So just really, really grateful for the work that everyone on this committee has done.
Thank you. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I, too, enjoyed serving with all of you, and I've known the chair for a number of years, and Representative Coulter, we got together, talked about the bill we co-authored, and it's fun to meet you and get to know you a little bit better. And, you know, I think we all have a lot of the same interests and, you know, about helping our renters and homeowners in the state. And I would just comment, you know, one of the things I heard most about this summer and fall was the market value exclusion, and we kind of nibbled around the edges of it and increased it somewhat. But even when you do that, we had a $12 million shift in that, and we have to really be careful in taxes when you change something here, something else pops up over here. So again, just working with that, and it made some changes, but again, just shows how challenging that can be sometimes. I will caution that you know, the inflator on the county program aid, it's $100 million this year. Next year, it's $115, and in the year 27, it's $129. And the CPA goes from $100 to $127 to $153. So the inflator is there, and we have to account for that in the tails of these budgets. Mm-hmm. And again, Mr. Chair, pleasure working with you. Appreciate the work done. And SWCDs, I'm sure, appreciate the funding supply and the bit of an increase today. So thank you for that. And good job on the committee, and thank you for letting me be on it.
Thank you. Vice Chair Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I also want to echo the appreciation across the committee. Really, I said I wanted to be vice chair to someone who I wanted to learn from, and I really appreciate you showing how judicious you've been with the bill and making sure that everyone, you know, can go home and be proud of something. So really appreciate that, and also want to call out as someone who represents a county and a city that is a net contributor to the revenues, really appreciate the increase in LGA and CPA. And I mean, similar to many folks on the doors, we heard, you know, a lot of people are really concerned about property taxes, especially because of the economy in the last 2 years. But my district is pretty evenly split between renters and homeowners. So again, appreciate you being judicious with how you make sure that we take care of all Minnesotans. And I know time is short, so I will give, I will yield back to you.
Thank you so much. Representative Quam, Lead Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I assume that reluctance to say that was, you know, tears welling up and that we won't have this fun and joyful time. Over my terms, I've had different things I've wanted to tweak in LGA. One was when I've seen what's happened to some cities like Detroit and et cetera, you know, I fully understand the need for extra money for old housing. I just wish that went towards urban renewal, went towards grants and low interest or no interest loans to fix up those neighborhoods so that they don't continue to deteriorate, but they get new curbs and gutters, the sidewalks, they get the availability of cost-effective ways of fixing them up, and you re-energize and invigorate portions of your community that oftentimes have other issues pop up because of the fact that it's an older neighborhood. I think that part of LGA or local government or any entity is we've got long-term things that pop up. And if we'd thrown, because we got one-time money, thrown a couple hundred million in that one-time money into a fund that was revolving for, again, low or no interest loans for replacing old water mains, doing some of those big infrastructure projects so there wouldn't be the additional hit, but then you pay it back so it's available, because all cities over a 50-year term, period of time, have major infrastructure things they need to do. And that would be a great way to invest one-time money, is to allow that function so there's not this huge, we got to do a bond, we got to do all this other stuff, and there's always that little interest hit. And it would be regenerating because they're paying it back over a period of time. And those are the kind of things that we need to think forward on to improve the system, because now we've got a surplus. We might in a few years have a deficit. That wasn't fun, but we worked together and we got through it. So I wish that this bill contained some of those long-term effective programs, because now is the time when we could do it. And that's part of the reason why, you know, the averaging and et cetera, looking at just the next 2 years is only part of the task that we've got. And those big changes and long-term changes to set us up in the future so it's not so much of a pain when things happen, I would hope we can move towards that as we work together and the years move on. But I've had fun. I know we joke back and forth and kid, but we can work together. And I look forward to continuing to work together. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I got to be honest with you. It truly has been an honor to chair this committee, to work with all of you. I wrote some stuff down, and normally I don't, but I didn't want to forget anything. And I want to thank you, Lee Kwom, for your thoughtful approach and your demeanor in this committee. Also to my vice chair, Lee, you came to all the different meetings and you were there for me, and you knew when I was hungry. Yeah.
You mean hangry?
Hangry. And you were there. And every member here for your thoughtfulness and the different perspective that you bring to this this committee, different backgrounds. And I think that really says something about how we can create something. And for that thoughtfulness, and to my CLA Faith, not just for your helping make this committee function, but for really knowing who I am, my strengths, my weaknesses, and in helping me be successful and keeping me on track. And honestly, if anybody knows me, that is a hard task. and she does an incredible job. And she knows when I'm down, and she lifts me up. She's always there for me, and she gets me to where I need to go. I want to thank Patrick McQuillan, the committee administrator. Unbelievable, talented, brilliant, dedicated to this institution. And when you know he does the big taxes in this and property taxes, and with two different chairs, and you know Chair Gomez and I, we may you know, we're both passionate, we're both emotional in how we do it, and for your ability to bring out the best in each of us. And Patrick, it is simply amazing what you're able to do. I wouldn't be able to do it. I can speak for myself. I would think Chair Gomez would probably say the same for what you're able to do. It's unbelievable. And I want to thank our DFL researcher, Sean, for always being there doing the research. I think that is incredible. If anybody sees that, lift up your blue one. You got a blue one there? You got...
I don't think you're supposed to.
Oh, whatever. Both.
Yeah, look at the back.
And also, you know, to Kelly, you know, the Republican. We know what you guys do for us. You know, we've got 17 different committees, and we're running all over. And for you guys to do the research and you guys to help us be prepared, thank you. It is incredible. To Commissioner Marquardt, I got to say that it's hard for me to articulate. I had 4 years underneath him, and his demeanor and how he treated people with kindness, with dignity, with respect. You know, he was all inclusive and wanted to really create an atmosphere of welcoming and understanding, but based on principle. And then to Joanna Behrens, I thank you for always being here, sitting in that seat when answering the tough questions. You know, that's not easy to do, right? So you don't know what questions are going to come up from the Department of Revenue, but you always come there, and I admire that. Last but certainly not least is the nonpartisan staff. House researcher Jared Swanson, Sean Williams, Chris Klayman, Alex Hagler, Justin Culp, fiscal analyst Kathy Schill, Cynthia Templin, and the revisors Maureen Sundy and Evan Powell. I just got to tell you, simply put, they're the smartest people in the room. Make no mistake about it. Serving underneath Commissioner Marquardt, I was able to interact, and I didn't understand until I became chair. And when you sit in that room and all the different questions, and they know it, who do we turn to? Mm-hmm. We turn to them, and they have the answer. And it's just incredible. And we wonder how we come and go. Chairs come and go. Legislators come and go, and these individuals, they are the bedrock. They are the knowledge. They are the constant for us to make informed decisions. And it's truly incredible. This session, to Chair Gomez, is we talked about peeling back the onion, and we did that. I think that there are multiple reasons that we put this together. Do I think that it could be more? You know, Chair Gomez made the comment that she, you know, this isn't her. I'd give more. I mean, you thought I was Santa Claus. I'd be a real big Santa Claus if I could. But we need to be fiscally responsible, and I think it's important. And I think that this is a balanced approach. And I couldn't be more proud. So I think that this is going to continue. Chair Gomez, we work so closely together. And I will tell you, like I said, like two minutes ago, we came from two different philosophies. And, I mean, Speaker Hortman, she's like a genius, right? Because Chair Gomez and I, you would have never thought we would be able to come together. And we did. You know, it's the yin and the yang, and that's how you come up with a good approach, a balanced approach. And so this has truly been an honor. You never know when our moment is done at the legislature, and I couldn't be more proud than to be serving with you people and having an opportunity to chair with this. So with that, I renew my motion that House File 377, as amended, 1377. Oh, yeah, and here's what he told me, too. I got to tell you. He said, you can make all the mistakes, but that last motion, you have to say it exactly right. So, this is what he said. He takes care of me. So with that said again, I renew my motion that House File 1377, as amended, be re-referred to the Tax Committee, and that staff make any technical adjustments necessary to the bill language and to the spreadsheet to reflect the intent of this property tax division. Roll call only if asked. Anybody asking? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. House File 1377, as amended, is re-referred to the Tax Committee, and it truly has been an honor. We are adjourned.